This message is given in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. You know, one activity that many people enjoy this time of year is driving around various neighborhoods and looking at all the beautiful Christmas decorations. Now, most people will decorate with some sort of lights, but that's where the similarity ends. You see, there are some who choose to put up more general holiday decorations that avoid any reference to Jesus. At such places, you will see Santa and reindeer and Frosty the Snowman, but no baby Jesus. On the other hand, there are those places where people go out of their way to put up decorations that have specific reference to Christ's birth. At such places, you will find a star, angels, and maybe even a nativity scene, complete with the baby Jesus and various farm animals, and of course, the shepherds and the three wise men. However, we need to understand that these nativity scenes are not quite historically accurate. You see, the shepherds and the wise men never even met each other. The shepherds were the first to arrive after some angels told them to look for God by finding a baby lying in a feeding trough outside of Jerusalem in a suburb called Bethlehem. But what about the three wise men? Well, they came later, according to Scripture. In fact, our gospel reading from Matthew chapter 2 says that magi from the east saw the baby star and came to worship him. Wait a minute. Worship a baby? Aren't we supposed to worship God alone? I mean, isn't that the point of the first commandment? Well, obviously, this baby is special. Anyway, the magi eventually end up at a house. That's right, Matthew says, a house. You see, Joseph wasn't a deadbeat dad. Joseph was a good father and a good husband. So the barn where Mary gave birth to Jesus was a temporary arrangement for one night. Soon after, Joseph got busy and found a house. And that's where the magi found Jesus. Now at this point, we should also clear up a few other errors. First, please note that I called these men magi. Not kings, not even wise men, although wise men is closer to the truth. You see, the magi were most likely scholars, professional scribes who worked for kings and other rich officials. The Magi were well-educated and also very often well-paid, which is why they were able to bring such expensive gifts to Jesus. Next, we must admit that we don't know how many Magi there actually were. Matthew doesn't actually say. Some have assumed there were three magi because of the three gifts mentioned in Matthew 2, verse 11. But the fact is, there could have been as few as two, or there could have been even more than four magi. Finally, even though our English translation says the magi saw Christ's star, our text clearly reveals that this star was not the same as the fixed points of light that we see in the sky at night. In fact, the Greek word for star can sometimes refer to various types of signs in the sky. Now, one reason this star was not the usual fixed point of light that we usually see is that, according to Matthew, this star moved. In fact, this star guided the Magi right up to the very house where Jesus lived. Now, that's amazing because fixed points of light in the sky can't guide us that accurately. In addition, not only did the star move around, it also appeared and then it disappeared, and then it appeared again. In fact, only the Magi seem to have seen this star, because Herod has to ask them when they saw it. Now, whatever type of phenomenon this star was, what we do know for sure is this. The Magi saw something in their eastern land, and that something informed them that God had come to earth as king. In addition, that something also led them right to the very house where Jesus lived. Now, with that said, one other thing we learn from the gospel reading is that King Herod was not at all happy with Christ's birth. You see, Herod was so focused on his political power that he could find no room in his heart to rejoice in the fact that his Savior had been born. And in the same way, we may also get so distracted by worldly matters that the true meaning of Christmas seems to elude us. Sadly, even though Herod pretended that he wanted to worship Jesus, he actually intended to kill him. Why? Because Herod misunderstood what kind of king Jesus actually was. You see, Herod thought that Jesus was going to be a powerful Jewish king who would conquer the Roman Empire. Well, Herod was used to being blessed by the Romans. They had given him his power, and Herod did not want to lose it. Herod simply did not understand that Jesus was born to save his enemies from their sins. Therefore, because Herod did not want this baby to rule over him, Herod planned to have Jesus killed. Now, of course, sometimes we're no better than Herod. You see, every time we sin, we show by our sin that we don't want Jesus to rule over us either. So we too need to repent. Next, we find out that Herod asks his Bible scholars to tell him what Scripture says about the place where the Christ is to be born. Well, they quote Herod, a Scripture text that just happens to be part of our Old Testament reading for tonight from Micah chapter 5. Listen again to these words. "But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times." So here we see that Jesus' birth in Bethlehem was no random accident. God had planned it this way all along. God's Son from eternity would be born of a virgin in Bethlehem, the city of King David, because Jesus was part of David's family line, as was Mary, his mother. Well, now that we have all heard about the historical details, I would now like to focus on the three gifts brought by the Magi and what those three gifts tell us about Jesus, namely who he is and what his birth means for you tonight. I'm going to be using a popular Christmas song entitled "We Three Kings," which was written back in 1857 by John Hopkins Jr., and he wrote it for a Christmas program at the General Theological Seminary of New York City. Now, Hopkins obviously had a good grasp of Scripture and how it points us to Christ. For example, listen to the words of the first stanza and then the chorus. "We three kings of Orient are, bearing gifts we traverse afar. Field and fountain, moor and mountain, following yonder star. O star of wonder, star of light, star with royal beauty bright, westward leading, still proceeding, guide us to thy light. These words of the hymn point us back to the event of Christ's birth in the past. However, these words also remind us that the star still leads us to Christ today. That's right. The star still leads us to Christ today. That's why he wrote these words, "Westward leading, still proceeding, guide us to thy perfect light." You see, we Christians today also have a star that guides us to Christ. We have the light of Holy Scripture. Not only does Scripture point us to Christ's birth in the past, Scripture also shows us where Christ can be found today. And my friends, Christ is found today wherever his word is faithfully proclaimed. Christ is found in the waters of holy baptism. Christ is found in the Lord's Supper, a gift we receive tonight, wherein Jesus gives us his very body and blood, which he used to purchase our salvation. Therefore, just as the Magi came to worship Jesus, we also have come to worship him. And now, we're ready to hear the second stanza of the hymn, "We Three Kings." Born a king on Bethlehem's plain, gold I bring to crown him again, king forever, ceasing never over us all to reign. Gold was one of the gifts the Magi gave to Jesus. Throughout history, gold was often given to kings as a way to honor their power and authority. So it's no wonder the Magi gave gold to Jesus. Jesus is the King of Kings, and he is also God. But what a strange king Jesus was and still is. I mean, when you think about it, earthly kings crush their enemies without mercy. But King Jesus, he's willing to give his life to save his enemies so that they might become his dearly loved people. What a wonderful king, unlike any other, is our Jesus. Now we hear the third stanza. Frankincense to offer have I. Incense owns a deity nigh. Prayer and praising, voices raising, worshiping God on high. Frankincense was one type of incense, which was a mixture of perfume and other ingredients that would give off clouds of aromatic smoke when burned in a fire. Now, incense was used by the Jewish priests in the Jerusalem temple, and the smoke of the incense going up into the air was a visible and aromatic sign of our prayers rising up to God. For example, hear these words from Psalm 141. May my prayer rise before you like incense. May the lifting up my hands be like the evening sacrifice. Here we see that the gift of frankincense was a symbol of prayers going up to the baby Jesus as our Savior. Frankincense is a sign that Jesus is God, because only God is the object of our prayers. And now, let's hear stanza 4. Myrrh is mine, its bitter perfume breathes a life of gathering gloom. Sorrowing, sighing, bleeding, dying, sealed in the stone-cold tomb. Myrrh was an aromatic oil that came from leaves of certain flowers. Myrrh was used as a perfume. However, it was also used to prepare the dead for burial. Myrrh would be used to cover up the smell of a dead body. In fact, myrrh was used on Jesus' dead body after he sacrificed himself on the cross. I'd like you to listen to these words from John chapter 19. Nicodemus brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes. Taking Jesus' body, they wrapped it with the spices in strips of linen, and this was in accordance with Jewish burial customs. Here we see that myrrh is a sign that Jesus was born to die. Myrrh would be needed to cover up the horrible smell of death. But my friends, the smell of Jesus' death for you is actually a pleasant aroma to God, who loved you so much that he sent his son to the cross to sacrifice himself for you. That's right, Jesus saved you from your sins by his death on the cross, and that sacrifice was a pleasant aroma to God. As it says in Ephesians chapter 5, Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Finally, we conclude with stanza 5 of the hymn, We Three Kings, which reads, Glorious now behold him arise, King and God and sacrifice. Alleluia, alleluia, sounds through the earth and skies. Somehow, those alleluias surrounding Christ's birth reached the Magi, and they came to worship Jesus. And in the same way, God's word has been proclaimed to us. The alleluias of Christ's birth have been proclaimed to us, and we also have come to worship him. Jesus is our King and our God and our sacrifice. So as we leave this place tonight, remember, not only has God called us to worship his Son, but God will also send us out, and he will use us to tell others about Christ's birth and what it means for our lives today. You see, others also need to hear this wonderful gospel so they too can come and worship him and be saved. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all our understanding, guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our King, our God, our sacrifice. Amen.